paint it. I think I make it to the top. Wait for a bit or more. Seesaw on summit that you never seen before. It came back reversed. I need proof for what it's worth.
We are back on the KT Got Game show. The KT Got Game podcast. Back once again. With our special co-host Jabbar, who's here. KT is just getting rest from his trip. Hope you had a great time. All that good stuff. So, you know, we'll break right into it by talking about the great weekend of NFL football. I know this is a NBA podcast, but I mean, these games were really good. And I just wanted to get what, you know, what you guys took from the weekend, some things you learned, some things that surprised you. Just talk about the weekend in general. So I want to start with the AFC, which the Broncos and Ravens. I think I just want to spend time on that game. I thought that it was one of the best games I've seen in a long time, especially in the playoffs. I thought that Baltimore just showed so much resiliency in coming back and getting the win. You know, I still think Ray Lewis is, you know, that him retiring is inspiring those guys. But just the fashion they were able to come back in and
double overtime,
overcoming two special team touchdowns. I mean, that was huge. So what did you guys take from that game? What did you think?
I think they were extremely resilient on Saturday. The kickoff return of 98 yards, and then you got a punt return of 100 yards.
Right.
It was just crazy. I've never seen anything like that for a team that has been so good at special teams for such a long time to give those up. It was different. And the fact that they stuck in there, and you know, Joe Flacco's been catching some heat for not showing up. And I look at it in two different parts. I think Joe Flacco definitely stepped up, and Torrey Smith played out of his mind. But on the opposite end, how bad that secondary for Denver was down the stretch. You know how I feel about Chan Bailey,
right?
But he got abused this weekend. And those old legs show when the young guy kept running past him. And just the mishaps they had, you know, with the coaching controversy about the last 30 seconds. But I think Baltimore just capitalized on the mistakes that Denver made, and that was enough to get them a win.
And I thought, you know, what puzzled me about I watched the game, and I'm like, 31 seconds left. You got two timeouts. You have Peyton Manning,
right?
You know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, been playing out his mind, outstanding all year, and you don't take a shot. It kind of reminded me of the 98 Vikings taking a knee. I know that pains everyone to hear me say that,
right.
But that's what it reminded me of. And I want to bring up Peyton Manning also because he's catching heat saying, you know, just from his performances in the playoffs. Now, he's lost. He's been to the playoffs 11 times.
He's lost
eight first round games. A couple of them he's been a first seed. A couple of them he's been a two seed. And is it unfair to criticize him? I've heard that your money is made in the regular season, but legends are made in the playoffs. And he hasn't always been legendary in the playoffs.
I've heard a lot of a couple of different takes on this. And Zach, you've known me for a while. I don't believe in blaming one player because it's a team sport. It's 11 guys out there.
Definitely.
And Peyton Manning is not the reason why they lost those games. I think if you asked him, he would say he could have played better. But it's hard to just put it on one person when people drop passes, people have penalties. You know, a lot of mistakes are made. The guy that makes the mistake last usually gets blamed. I think that's a little unfair. But I think, you know, we see Peyton Manning's greatness, but you're how you remember it, I think a lot of that has to do with timing, because it's when you make big mistakes like Tony Romo, or when you're great. You can be a real bad player in the regular season, or kind of like Tim Tebow was last year. First three quarters, he stunk to join up.
Yep.
But the fact that he got it done in the fourth quarter, I think people remember, you know, certain aspects of a game.
Right.
And, you know, if you got to make your big plays when you're supposed to, or else
you have to.
You'll be the GOAT.
Yep. And what do you think about that with Manning, Tone. What do you think
you guys
about that?
Think about this. Tim Tebow got just as far as Peyton Manning did in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Tim Tebow actually won a game.
He won a game.
And I will say this. I think that a lot of Peyton Manning fans will say, well, his defense was bad. He didn't have a running game. And they make all these excuses. You know, sometimes I'm not going to call them excuses. I'll say they're explanations. But then again, you're the leader of the team. You're the best quarterback in the league. You have to make those plays. You can't be average. Right. He was average. Right. He was average.
No question.
I mean, he wasn't. You know, he didn't do what Colin Kaepernick did, and we'll get to him later, but he didn't have that epic game. He didn't, right. I mean, and then, you know, you got to feel bad for the safety. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking on that play.
Right.
But, oh, my gosh, that was just bad.
That bad pick in the second overtime that really just was the game.
Right.
That was reminiscent of Brett Favre a couple years back.
Another thing that was great about that game is something happened that I never saw happen personally in the game, where the first overtime was over. So I'm thinking to myself, like, what happened?
Yeah.
When the first overtime
was
like
over. Just like the next quarter.
Right, just like the next quarter. So, you know, I was relieved when they got the kicker out there. And just a lot of weird things happened. During the timeout, they let the field goal kicker kick a couple kicks. He was practicing during the timeout.
He shouldn't have been practicing on the field.
Right, the setup was just weird, but I'm a Ravens guy, so
I'm a Ravens guy. Zach, can the Ravens win on Sunday?
Yeah, I think they can beat New England. And I mean, last year it's the same team essentially, and pretty much they came a missed field goal in a drop pass.
They were Billy Cundiff kick away from being in the
Billy
Super Bowl.
Billy Cundiff and Ali Evans drop away from being in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Joe Flacco actually outplayed Tom Brady that game. And I think that the Ravens have always given Tom Brady a run for his money. You know, so I definitely think that Baltimore has a chance. I did see a stat that Baltimore's defense played 87 plays last game, and they played something like 80-some plays the game before, so that's somewhat of a concern, especially with how up-tempo New England plays. But I still think the Ravens have a chance.
I think they can win, but they'll have to play a turnover-free game, and they'll have to find a way. They have to get Ray Rice going and find a way to keep Tom Brady on that bench.
Time of possession is going to be gonna huge be, in that
huge.
Game.
That is huge.
So,
Time of possession is really the determining factor in all these playoff games.
It's going to be real big in this game.
Yeah.
Packers and 49ers, man, I know Colin Kaepernick, I mean, he was off the hook. 181 yards rushing, 263 yards passing. I mean, those are college football numbers. I mean, that's Johnny football numbers. So
those are numbers you can only sustain for about two or three seasons.
Yeah, I'm thinking this dude running a read option, he didn't even get touched on a 50-yard touchdown run. So I'm like, I think, you know, Harbaugh definitely, like, that was a huge decision that he made, and I think that it's paying off. And I also think that, you know, as much heat as he took for benching Alex Smith or giving the starting position to Kaepernick, I think he really knew what he was doing. Like, sometimes they say the eyes will tell you. Coaches' eyes know when they see something. The opportunity came, and I think he ran with it. So, at this point, it's paying off.
What's weird about that is it seemed as though their spread option was a little different because their timing of the instances where they called the plays put Kaepernick in a position where he wasn't getting hit at all.
Right. He doesn't get hit.
And they do have a great offensive line, but it doesn't matter when you're running the read option. He just did a great job of knowing when to hand it off and knowing when to keep it.
He's got excellent vision on the field.
And there were a couple times where he could have got blasted, where RG3 and Michael Vick and other players take that hit, and he just slid. And I think a smart player needs to do that. But he's throwing the ball amazingly, too. He was dropping dimes out there. And, man, if they play like that, nobody will beat them.
Yeah, I don't
because
I don't see
it was weird. I'm looking on ESPN like I do every day, and you have their three linebackers made All Pro, Aldon Smith made All Pro, and a safety in a corner. That's six or seven players from one team that made All Pro, which is unbelievable.
Right, that defense is solid. Their offensive line,
and
is
you
solid.
look at the linebackers. For the other team who are going to be chasing Kaepernick, and you're like, man, the only guys that could slow him down are guys on his team.
Right.
So I think it looks real good for them if they can sustain that level of play.
It really does. Tone, you got anything on the 49ers?
I think they beat Atlanta. I think we see them in the Super Bowl, but I don't know if they can beat the Pats, man.
They beat them already. We'll see. And they beat them in New England. And they were beating them pretty bad.
We're still looking
Tom Brady
at
made a comeback.
A dangerous postseason, Patriots.
Yeah, you're right.
It's going to be interesting.
Another great game. Falcons and Seahawks. I mean, I got to give props to Matt Ryan. You know, I've been a critic of his. I never thought he could win the big games. He's always came up, you know, small. So you got to give props for them. But also Seattle is like, how do you come back? You're down 20-0. You come back. And that Russell Wilson. Russell, last name Wilson. That's what Deion Sanders called. Russell Wilson's amazing, man.
Yeah, he's a great player, man. He was a good player in college. He just exudes confidence, and he's a guy that, you know, you can build a team around. He's kind of overlooked because of, you know, his hype. But when are coaches and players going to put more into winning and less into stature and how he's built in 40 time? Winners are winners on all levels. He's a guy that's won everywhere. He's never going to get you beat, and he's perfect, you know, for that system. And I think they have something, you know, they got a young team. I think they have something to look forward to in the years
Definitely.
Ahead.
I think watch out for them in the next 2-3 seasons.
Here. Man, real happy for Tony Gonzalez, too. 16 years,
yes.
Best tight end in the league. And you finally get your first playoff win. I mean, that just,
he deserves
it. He deserves it. You would have thought he would have retired a long time ago. You know, he's broken he really has nothing else to prove but to win the Super Bowl. So, I mean, for him, props to him for being able to do that.
I think that Atlanta defense will be exposed this week.
And you know what? I think so, too, because if you watch that game against Seattle, Zach Miller was – He was killing them. So I'm
nuts.
Thinking, if you think that
Anthony
if Zach
Davis
Miller got off it, now they got to go against Vernon Davis. Michael Crabtree, who's playing like, he's looking
good. Randy Moss guy.
He's looking like the Randy Moss guy. So definitely.
Randy Moss is looking good as well.
So, yeah, we're gonna transition into the NBA, what this is all about. And, you know, I know the stir up last night with the Miami and Utah game. Where, you know, they were down big in fourth quarter, and they have LeBron in with the bench, and I think Rashard Lewis and Ray Allen and all those guys are in. They're making a comeback with 3 minutes left in the game. You would think that Spoelstra would put Wade back in. He sits them for the whole fourth quarter. So for me, I've seen Phil Jackson do this, and I've seen it work where he plays his bench a lot of minutes. And, you know, they'll bring them back. But one thing Phil did was like, it's time to put my closers back in the game. Like, you know what? You guys did a good job. You served your purpose. You brought energy. Now I'm going to bring my guys back in to close the game out. He chose not to do that for whatever reason. My thing with that is not only are you coaching X's and O's, you're managing egos. And you know Dwayne Wade has an ego. I don't know. Not so much Chris Bosh. I don't think he's really going to be vocal or say much of anything. But you could see did you see the interview with Dwayne Wade?
Yeah.
That dude looked so disappointed. He looked disrespected. So, I mean, what did you think about that? What do you think? As a coach and you being a coach and being in those situations, you know, what do you think? How would you have done? Would you have managed that differently? Or
there's a couple ways that coaches go about it. Some coaches, you know, you ride with the cats that got you there. So you ride it out. I think it depends on the amount of time that, you know, that they've been in the game. But if you look at it, Bosh wasn't playing extremely well.
Right.
D-Wade wasn't playing extremely well. So I think Spoelstra kind of you got to read, you know, you kind of got to look at the pulse of your team and know characters and know individuals. I think just looking at it yesterday, I can't really say if it's a good or bad decision. I don't think it's determined by necessarily that loss. I think they'll have lost no matter what they did. But I think down the line we'll see, you know, if it had an effect on the team.
Right.
Because they haven't been playing that well anyway.
Especially not on the road.
So, I mean, they've been losing anyway. So to try something different, I mean, is it that bad to try something different? Because what he's been doing hasn't been working because they haven't been responding.
So what do you think, Tone? Do you You're down. They were down like by 20 points in the third quarter. They come all the way back.
Would they put out like Mike Miller?
They're down by two with, you know, 3 minutes or, you know, 2.5 minutes left. Do you come back in with Wade and Bosch to close the game out?
Yeah, I think so. Who was in there? Mike Miller?
They had, I think their lineup was, they had Chalmers. Yeah. I think they had Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis.
It says four bench players.
Yeah, Norris Cole could have been in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, me personally, I'm sorry. I'm putting them back in the game. There's no way, and I mean, I know it's different because it was a high school level. There's no way when I watch you guys play in high school that if it ever came to a situation like that, that regardless of how you were playing, you're on the floor. And I know it's different because they're professionals.
Right.
But I'm saying I'm putting my best guys out there to win. I'm not, you know, and I know all these guys can play because they're in the NBA. But there's no way that, you know, one of the best scorers in the league, I'm going to leave sitting on a bench. I mean, he was 5'4", 11. He had 11 points. He wasn't having the best game. But I think that's what makes those players special, is that they can come in at those critical moments and get you a bucket.
They're clutch.
Another key factor is matchups, though. So you have to look at who Utah had in the game as well.
Yeah, Jabbar, I was gonna ask, sorry to interrupt, but
no, go for it.
It's along the same lines. I was going to ask, do you think Spoelstra is just being decisive and throwing a couple role players out there and just trying this different strategy?
I think so. I think he was just trying something different because, what, they lost three out of last four or four in a row.
So
we
better
like
find
that.
A different way to win.
Yeah, just for the night. I think if they play tonight and he was in the same situation, he may do it differently, not because of any backlash or anything, because it's a new team, new night, you know, new feel. Like, every game is different. Matchups are always different.
That's true.
So, coaches, you know, roll the dice. I believe if you ask, you know, Spoelstra, would he do it again, he might say yes or he might say no.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
It's just a one-game
deal.
If
it was a playoff
deal.
Game, yeah, you blame him.
One-game deal.
Right. If it was a bigger game. I just think I'm going to, and the reason why I was bringing up and making a big deal of it is just because I don't, for some reason, I feel like the team doesn't, I think they, their feelings towards Spoelstra, it's always kind of funny to me. Like, you know, it's not like the respect that a Popovich gets or a Doc Rivers or Phil Jackson. You know, he's kind of like, you know, Dwayne Wade's been, you know, he's been confrontational with them. You know, they've kind of questioned him at times. So that's the only thing. Their relationship seems real funny to me. I don't know.
If Doc Rivers did what Spoelstra did yesterday, we're not talking about that at all.
Definitely. You're right. You're right.
I mean, you have to, you know, earn a certain amount of equity as a coach.
We're talking about the young coach.
Right. But they were. Popovich, everybody was a young coach once.
Yep,
and
that's true.
As long as they all learn from it, I think they'll be okay.
Exactly.
Here's an interesting quote, I guess. Before the Heat left for this road trip, Wade was asked if he missed the days of taking 20 to 25 shots a game, the days before James and Bosch, and being relegated to the third option some nights. Wade's response, every day. He misses that every day.
My statement is, to my response to that is, Wade, I think he needs to grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
And realize that he's not the best player.
You're not.
You ain't Jordan. No.
He's not. And he's banged up. He's nicked up all the time. And his way of doing things didn't necessarily, you know, he won a championship, but, you know, he had Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep.
So him getting 20 shots isn't necessarily, I don't understand how that makes him more happy or that's something he would think about every day. I think that's a kind of immature statement, man.
Every day? I don't know.
The timing of the question, I believe, would
right, yeah, right before this road trip.
Depending on that. Yep.
Exactly. And so, they're not playing well, and winning cures everything.
We've said that. And like I said, I'm not questioning Miami. They'll be fine by the time playoff
the,
time.
The Heat 8-9 on the road and 4-6 in their last 10 games.
Yeah, they haven't been playing well. And they got games against Golden State and the Clippers coming up. Or Golden State and the Lakers, I think, so. You know, they'll be tested.
Okay. They're built for the playoffs.
Yeah, they are. They'll be fine. But so D'Antoni has said that Kobe Bryant will be guarding the team's best player. So that means, you know, night in, night out, you know, he's taking challenges of, you know, the Russell Westbrooks and Kevin Durant's. The, you know, I hope they don't think they're going to put he's going to guard like Tony Parker or, you know, I've seen this with Jordan where they had him guarding point guards and, you know, like somebody made a statement that was funny. They said, Russell Westbrook is to Kobe what Iverson was to Jordan. Like, it's just, You know, not saying they're not better players, but they shouldn't have to guard those guys. Right. I guess that's you know.
I think D'Antoni, when it comes to defense, is clueless, man. He just is, man. That's not gonna fix your problem. It's just not gonna fix the problem that your team has defensively.
Right.
It's not gonna keep you from scoring, from getting 110 points scored on you a night. He's picking at straws, man. He's trying to figure something out.
This is something you do in a pickup game. You say, yo, Randy, you get this guy the whole game.
But we're talking about your best player and a guy that's averaging, 28 points a game, second in the league or something, second, third in the league. And a guy who's, 35? So to put that extra responsibility on him when, you know, he'll be out of position playing like a Kevin Durant or, you know, certain Tony Parker. He shouldn't have to chase around, you know, guys like that. You got young guys on the bench for that. If Ron Artest isn't guarding Kevin Durant and LeBron, why is he on the floor?
Right.
And that's his job.
And, you know, from now on, he will not be referred to as D'Antoni on this show. He's going to be referred to as Antoni. He don't even get the D in his first name. So whatever we bridge in his name, I'm going to call him Antoni.
He sure as hell doesn't get that apostrophe.
Wow. Yeah, he doesn't get that. The apostrophe's gone, too. So Antoni, he definitely needs to come up with some type of other scheme or something. But that, I just don't see it. And I think the Lakers will still struggle with that. I mean, I still think they get in the playoffs, but – I mean, I just don't get him, period. And I just don't understand the hiring, and I'll continue to say that. And I think that the L.A. fans are in for, like, a long season. I'll just put it to you like that.
Lakers 16-21 right now.
Gosh.
They are 5-12 on the road.
That?
3-7 in their last 10.
3-7?
3-7. That's 5-12 on the road. That's not a playoff team.
They stink.
Yeah.
That's not past the first round.
And I've said this. If the Lakers do not make the playoffs,
get fired.
He needs to get fired. And I would say that this is one of the most epic fails in sports history. There's no way you have Steve Nash, Dwight Howard,
three Hall of Famers,
Kobe Bryant, Antoine Jameson coming off the bench, Ron Artest, Paul Gasol, and you can't make it to the playoffs. I mean, it'd be one of the most epic fails in sports history.
Just
so,
their franchise this year.
Oh, definitely. I mean, to me, it's a fail. Even if they get the sixth seed, that's still not good.
That's tough on them.
You know, because now you're playing against a San Antonio or a Memphis. Right.
They're 12.5 games back.
Gosh-ly.
They're behind the 23-13 Golden State.
Yeah, they're
who's
bad.
Looking good.
So let's talk about someone that's good. Let's talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Are they the best team in the league? I mean, I've watched them, and, you know, I know KT – He thought that they would struggle without Harden, and he thought that he didn't care for Kevin Durant facilitating more than he has this year. KT had a lot of questions about Oklahoma. I kind of stayed the course with them, and I still thought they're the team to beat in the West. So I also feel that they have the best duo in basketball. Durant and Westbrook, I feel to me, are the two best players on the team. I mean, one of them had 41, one of them had 38. I mean, those dudes are dang near unstoppable. So are they the best team in the NBA right now playing?
I think it's a coin toss between them and the Clips.
I don't think it's a coin toss. I'm going with the Clippers because of the bench.
Right.
And the scoring and the ability they have more threats than the Thunder. The Thunder, if Durant and Westbrook don't score 70 points, they're probably going to lose. I mean, you got Kevin Martin coming off the bench. You got Serge Ibaka who could play. But with the Clippers, you got about five or six guys that could give you 15 every
That's
night.
True.
And you know, they know their role. And the Chris Paul factor, man.
If they lose their distributor, Chris Paul, what happens?
Yeah, he didn't play last night, and they beat the Grizzlies by 20 points.
But that's a Grizzly. That's no joke.
But that was a situation where he just wanted some rest. It wasn't.
Right.
It's nothing serious. But if they don't have him, that team's dramatically changed.
Right.
I mean, they're not the Clippers that we know. But having him in the lineup is, I think, the pendulum swings in Oklahoma's favor because there's nobody like him. I'm not saying he's better than a Durant, but He controls the team. He has the ball.
Right. He's
the decision maker. Right.
He's the captain of the ship. Right. The guys respect him. And I think that it just shows. And, you know, I thought it was funny on ESPN. I know we bring up A Tribe Called Quest a lot. You know that they were calling them A Tribe Called Bench? That's what they call the bench. So I wanted to tell you, I thought that was funny.
I'm in love with
them. We bring that up all the time. They're like, A Tribe Called Bench? I'm like, what? Why? I bet you some of the players don't even know what Tribe Called Quest is.
What's funny, though, as an athlete, like, you know, nicknames and things like that, they work, man.
That
brings unity to a squad, and that gives them their own identity separate from, the starters. Just like in football, the offensive linemen, you know, they have nicknames for that unit, because they don't get as much shine as everybody else. But, things like that work, and just the psychology of that is huge for teams.
So
and that shows how good they get along.
It does. And, I'm stuck in between the Clippers in Oklahoma as the best teams right now. I'm gonna give an edge to Oklahoma City just because I feel like they're battle tested. They've been through it. They went to the East. They went to the finals last year. They've tasted it, and I think that we'll see. We'll see. But I definitely think that Oklahoma and the Clippers are playing the best ball of any team in the league.
I think, like, with all these dominant teams, both of them are one injury away from. Watch out, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's very true. But you can say that about any team.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
Definitely.
And I know you guys wanted to bring, and OKC, formerly they were the Seattle Supersonics. So what's going on with the Sacramento and Seattle deal? Do we want basketball back in Seattle?
Seattle does.
I know they definitely do. Sacramento is struggling. But I remember watching those games with Chris Webber, Mike Bibby. I mean, the crowd was just.
I got a Kings Bibby jersey upstairs.
Nice. They remind me of what Oklahoma City's crowd is. I think Oklahoma City has the best crowd in basketball, period. But I think Sacramento's crowd was near that at the heyday.
D-Voc.
With those guys and the way they passed the ball and played the game. Seattle, I think, definitely deserves. I mean, they won a championship. They won not a lot of teams have won a championship. So, cities have won. So I think Seattle does deserve something.
I think the Pacific Northwest deserves, they do have the Blazers. I'm sorry.
Right.
Seattle got robbed. And then a couple years later, they're watching their team go to the championship.
That was bad.
Come on, man.
That's tough.
But I think it's a good move. Like I said, they're struggling. It's funny how the Maloofs aren't as into their team.
They're not.
They used to be a hot ticket, man.
They were a hot ticket. They're always at the games. They were like, but the Bopsy twin Mark Cubans or something. What I'm saying?
But that was always an odd choice for a team with me, Sacramento.
I know
the players hate going there. They'll never say it. They hate going there.
Right.
I don't know if California needs, four teams?
Right.
Right.
And that Bay Area's already got a team in Golden State, obviously. Right.
And they've always been the stepchild. So
I just see Seattle.
Yeah, they're the Clippers of Northern California.
Right. You can see Seattle I just see them ending up like the Browns. I don't know who's going to take over for them or what GM or owner they're going to bring in. But I can see everybody wanted football back in Cleveland and how good has that been?
Right.
Not too good.
But they support, though.
They do. So,
We better get used to saying the Seattle Kings. It doesn't sound that bad.
Anything's better than the New Orleans Pelicans.
So. Oh,
that's a disaster.
The Hornets?
Every time I think Pelicans, I think of Scarface when he was watching a flamingo and he goes, "Fly, Pelican."
I was like, that is the worst.
Wait, was that one of the names in the running?
No, that's what they're going to call the franchise. New Orleans Pelicans.
When?
Next year.
Next year, they will be called the Pelicans.
They're taking the Hornets?
You know what's funny? Because Michael Jordan said he's looking and getting the Hornets name back in Charlotte.
Right. So he wants the Hornets
back. I like that.
Yeah. I like the Charlotte Hornets.
The Charlotte Hornets are good, but fly Pelican.
Hey, this is totally off of the subject, but it's kind of tied in. Pekovic, when he scores... the music that they play?
Yeah.
That's super
dope.
What do they? They play the, it's like some mob music because of.
Nice.
It's dope.
Nice.
Check it out next time you score a bucket.
Definitely. We got a special this or that. Jabbar came up with this or that.
And on the fly.
On the fly. So it's a freestyle this or that. So I'm looking forward to what he has in store.
All right, let's start out with Zach here. Best nickname, Irving Magic Johnson or Air Jordan?
Man, this is a good question just because their nicknames define them so well.
Well, one of them is just the dude's first name at this point.
Yeah, right. His name right. is just it.
That has to be considered.
People just call him Magic.
Game over.
That might be it.
That's what it says.
I never thought about
when
that.
When he's broadcasting, we're here with Magic Johnson.
Nobody says hey, Irvin.
There are people that are basketball fans that do not know his first name.
Unless it's an HIV documentary, no one says Irving.
No one. Unless it's right.
There are fans that do not know his first name.
Air Jordan.
In business, they call him the Magic. At Starbucks and that.
They call him Magic, man. That's Magic.
I think Dr. J should almost be up in here.
Oh, the Doc?
The Doc. Dr. Julius Irving.
You know, it's funny to me that.
Dr. Dunkology.
And I got to give Magic that because his nickname transcends basketball.
It does.
So you got to give him the. It's called, the Air Jordan thing, I get it. I don't think nobody calls him Air anything off the court. Especially not what he's doing with the Bobcats. So, definitely, I got to go with Magic.
I'm definitely going Magic because, like Zach said, it transcends everything. And like I said, people don't even know his first name.
That's crazy.
But for Michael Jordan, Air Jordans for kids and people that is special, man.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Air Jordans are they're a special item,
and
for kids that have never seen
Jordan play.
That's something. I'm going with Magic. What you got, Tom?
I gotta set my love for MJ aside and just go Magic because it's transcended basketball. Right. It's really just it's Magic.
The man's name is Magic.
We're going live to Magic in New York right now.
Everybody knows who you're talking about.
Everybody.
Right. All right, let's go the second one here. I'm gonna go Jabbar, college or NBA.
College. And I say college because there's just more passion on college football, basketball. I see more passion. The losses mean more in college because they're not as many games. And I just think they go harder.
They're not paid.
They're trying to prove more. They have a sense of innocence that kind of shows in the game. There's something to be said for the product. It's not a professional product. And I kind of like it, the amateurism of it, and just how hard they go because they're trying to reach a certain level. A lot of guys in the league have reached, they've gotten, to the pinnacle of basketball, and they're the best. And the college guys are trying to get there. So I would say, even though I'm a fan of professional sports, I would rather watch college sports on the basketball level and the football level. There's nothing like March Madness.
Right. You know,
playoffs, finals, there's nothing like March Madness.
I'm going to say this. This was like my defining moment. Like when I watched these divisional playoffs, they were better than any bowl game I saw.
Okay. That's fair.
And so for me, sometimes when I watch it and I'm like, you get hyped up to watch these Alabamas and these Notre Dames, and you get hyped up to see the Oklahomas against the Floridas, and then it's just a massacre. And you're like, man, come on, man. And then with college basketball, there was a game, I think it was Miami and Maryland or something like that. It was 14-17 at halftime. I don't care how hard you're playing. I don't want to see a 14-17 score. And the excitement of March Madness is it's unmatched because it's one and done. There's so many upsets.
It's
so
3 weeks long.
The dynamic is, people fill out their brackets and they do this. But, 40 days and 40 games and 40 nights is so I'm saying I'd rather see the pro game. That's just me. I love the college kids' heart. I love the passion. I probably love to go tailgate at a college game just to deal with the atmosphere. But as far as watching, I got to go with the pros.
Now, this is a slippery slope for me because I know that college, if I started to get into it, I would just be into it, and that would be my thing. But we come here every week. We do an NBA show.
Right.
And the kind of the same thing that is really interesting about college kind of drives me away, just the fact that there's so many teams.
Right.
And this is why I don't get into college football, because there's no playoff. You don't recognize these small teams. You don't know who they are.
That hurts them.
But the reason it drives me away is just because there's so many. I don't know these schools. Who are the reason I know about most private schools, or some of these Ivy League schools even, is because of March Madness.
Right. Right.
I don't know where these schools are, who these people are, what this is, where the school is located.
Right.
Until I fill out my bracket.
Right.
Right.
You're like Dartmouth, Wolford. What's going on here?
It's like, well, yeah, that's a good school. If it's in March Madness, it's like, yeah, it's a good school. Right. His son went there.
They won the Granola Valley League. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. No, so it kind of drives me away, just because I'm scared of it, because I'm a little bit ignorant. But I know if I dove in, I would be more into it than the NBA.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So that's what I got. Let's go back to Zach here. Prince or MJ? Michael Jackson, not Michael Jordan.
This is a very, you know, Prince is partial. He's, you know, just he's playing at the Dakota all this.
Yeah, on the heels of the big Dakota announcement.
Yeah, this is a tough one, because Michael Jackson is like an icon, but I feel like musically Prince was just a genius musically. I think that he's more talented than Michael Jackson in terms of music.
He plays guitar.
He plays the guitar. He plays different instruments. He's very edgy. But man, I mean, I gotta give that.
MJ was edgy in his own way.
I had the Michael Jackson viewfinder as a kid, so I'm gonna go with you know, the little things that you click.
Nice.
So I'm going with Michael Jackson. That's tough, because I'm
nice.
This is a hard. Come on, man. You can't be putting stuff like that.
Oh, it's sacred ground.
Nah, come on, man. You can't. You know me. I'm from Minnesota, man. So
it was funny. If you're in the studio, Zach was looking at me to try to kind of judge my face. I gave him the poker face, man. I'm not giving you any edge. Man.
Well, now it's your turn, Bar.
I'm going Prince. And I'm going Prince because I'll say this. I'll preface my statement by saying this. Michael Jackson is the best entertainer to ever walk on this planet Earth.
Definitely.
The best entertainer. Might be the best dancer. To take nothing away from him, he has songs and albums that are truly incredible. I think Prince gives, for me personally, I like Prince a little better because he's a musician. I'm not gonna say passion, but his persona and his, like Prince, the man wears high heels.
How do you get away with that?
With velvet high heels, and we don't
and nobody says
question that. Anything about him. The man had on pants with his butt cheeks out, man. And it's literally
it was socially acceptable.
Prince can do that. There's not a man alive that can get away with the stuff the man can get away with, man. My mom went to like the Essence Festival, and the dude was riding around on like roller skates for like 2 days. Like, the world is Prince's playground, and Michael Jackson was exactly the same way.
Oh my god!
But I'm gonna go Prince because of he's a musician.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm gonna throw it to you, Tom.
I like that. And it's the whole local thing.
The man
obviously
had his butt cheeks out, man.
Obviously, we're broadcasting in Minneapolis, Prince's hometown here. He just announced a group of shows at the Dakota, a very small venue.
Yep.
He's going to make a ton of money.
Sold out.
$250 tickets for that Friday night show. Anyway, I feel like Prince is probably kind of a jerk.
Okay.
He's super eccentric. You know, I grew up like in Eden Prairie, where he had a house over there that just got foreclosed on a couple years ago. He just stopped paying. You know, we know he's super eccentric. He's got the big studio over there. He lives in Vegas. He doesn't live here anymore. He just comes home to play a couple shows. But I think if it came down to seeing a show at First Avenue, I'd rather go see MJ.
Okay.
I think he touched some kids, and that bothers me. But I think as a performer, I'd rather see MJ.
Come on, Tone. That's allegedly. Hey, allegedly.
Oh, are you guys kidding me?
Yeah, man, allegedly.
Are you guys kidding me?
The man's resting in peace, Tom.
Allegedly. Oh. Come on, man. Hey, we got to go to the next
on,
question.
Though. Hold on, though. Michael Jackson had grown men falling out at his concert. Yeah, stuff. That's unforgettable. But next question.
All right, where are we at? Wreck the bar.
We got to get KT back, man. This show getting off the hook.
The last one here. Nike versus ESPN commercials. Bar.
I'm going, it's funny. Thinking of these, I had my answer right away. But the more I thought
about it.
That's
what happens at doing this or that.
I got to go Nike. Nike because of, they've left more of an imprint on culture with the Bo Jackson and the Mars Blackman and the Just Do It, and creatively, like, they go places like, do you know the Jordan versus, I mean, the Jordan commercials and just the Nike commercials, and they've socially and in our culture, they've taken Nike somewhere that's unbelievable. I believe that the writers at ESPN they're incredible, man.
Yeah.
Like the stuff they come up with. Yeah. And it's only because of longevity that I go with Nike. But they're so clever, man. And you know, the commercials with Big Poppy and Larry Fitzgerald catching everything, and AP with the nickname. And they're just so clever with the stuff they come up with that it's like I'm waiting like for the next one. But Nike, everything they touch turns to gold, man. And ESPN is the same way, you know, kind of on a different wavelength, but they haven't had the longevity Nike's had. So initially I was going to go ESPN, but it's Nike.
Nike, well, did Nike have the one where they were, like, dribbling the basketball and making beats out of it? You remember that one where they were dribbling?
I think that was Nike, man.
Man, that was just – I mean, even that in itself was ridiculous, but – so I'm going to have to say Nike, but I do want to – the ESPN commercials, I don't know if they're quirky, they're clever, they're funny. Like the one with LeBron James, man. When he – when
the chair?
He's like, hey, Scott, you see my chair? And he got the big – the King's chair. And he's like, no, I haven't seen your chair, they're LeBron. Dope, man. Like, man, that's funny. Or the one where Tony Romo's playing the secretary and he keeps lifting up the play
they're
call.
Dope, man.
Like, it is funny. And they're very – I think ESPN is very thoughtful and intentional in their commercials. And I think it's good for – I think theirs is better for, like, the diehard sports fan.
Right.
You know, the diehard sports fan will love their
– It's less artsy, but you're going to recognize Tony Romo.
You're going to recognize Tony Romo. Right. You're going to recognize, like, Albert Pujols. Like, I'm not a machine. And right. He's looking at him. Yeah, so you're going to recognize those things. But Nike, yeah, they're iconic. Their commercials are iconic. And I think that's what puts them over the top. Although I do like ESPN and what they do.
Yeah, man, I can't stand commercials just in general, even if they're artistic and brilliant or whatever. I'll mute it or turn the channel and then forget what I'm watching and I'll miss half the game. But ESPN, I like their little Sports Center commercials, which is the ones where they just bring out the athletes and they have just a couple of quips. I like that because how easy would it be for a network to advertise for themselves and just pass the buck and just throw like a logo up and be like ESPN. Right. So they actually have writers that actually do it's just such a mothership, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
That is good. That's good. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up. And like I said, I think we had a great show today. And you know what? Thank you guys for listening. Peace out.
KT, get some rest. I might be busy, a soundboard, baby, yo. Some things you just can't cancel, you know me, because I never phone need when I give it to